Hey guys, welcome back to the Homework Assignment Podcast. I'm your host. Actually, I said I was going to stop saying that the last podcast. I'm not going to say it this time. But thanks for joining us. Today, we're really excited. We have Coop, the one and only Cooper Brooks here with us. I told you guys a little bit about him in our last podcast, and we're really excited to have you, man.
Thank you, sir.
So Cooper is one of the world's best barbers. And he cuts all of our hair here at our office. I met him randomly in one of the, Quick's Barbershop or something, right? You used to work at. And I think I was late or the appointment didn't like show up online or something. I pull up and he's sweeping. He wasn't even expecting me. And you're like, dude, I'll take care of you. Come back. And that was, you know, got that first haircut. I'm like, you know, I went home. My wife was like, I just fell in love with you all over again over this haircut. I'm like, bet I'm going back to Cooper every single month. And that the rest is history, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, dude, welcome. We're really excited to have you. Why don't you tell us who you are and why it is you cut hair? Let's start there.
Well, I'm Cooper Brooks. So the reason... So in the beginning, I would say that's a hard question because I don't know if I want to start out like in the beginning or if I want to start out like why I cut hair now.
Well, let's back up on the thought of even doing hair. Well, let's stop real quick. Here's something really important. What's the biggest award you have currently won?
What's the biggest word?
Award.
Award, right? The North American Hairstyling Awards.
Yeah. Okay. So what is that?
The North American Hairstyling Awards is an award show that consists of like several candidates, like, well, several applications,
okay,
then several candidates, then top five, then one winner.
So it's like American Idol for barbers.
Sure.
Right?
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. And you won that,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So ranked, what, number one barber in the nation?
Yes. As per last year, I didn't do it this around, but yes.
Yes, so. But that was when I had met you, you had just won that,
right? Yeah, so, I think I had just like made top five or had just like either top five or won in that.
I think you had just won. It was really awesome. I was stoked. I came back to office. I'm like, guys, I found the nation's best barber literally at a mall and he's going to start cutting hair for us. I was stoked. I was absolutely stoked because one, it's like, you know, I lived in Chile and in South America, and I got my hair cut by so many barbers, and it was always the best cut I'd ever had. And coming back to America, I couldn't find that. I've been to so many different barbers, literally, and then went to you, and I was like, dude, I'm crispy.
I'm crispy, bro. Yes.
So you won that award. What does it mean to have won that award, and what did it take to actually get there?
Man, I think about this moment a lot. So I did the application, got accepted, went and made the collection. But so between application, accepted, and building the collection, it was like a 4-month period of just like waiting. Did the application, I'm waiting to see if I got in. Oh my God. Whenever I got, it was so stressful. And I told myself, it was so funny. I was like, I'm not going to be stressed. Once I like, if I get it or I don't, like that's going to be the end of the stress.
Yeah.
Then I got it. I remember this. I left the salon that I was working at. I said, bye, Melissa. She's the salon owner. Hop in my car and I pull up and I was like, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to get some Subway. And then, man, like I'm no kidding. Well, actually, there's a sad story behind that. And I can't believe like it came back to me right now. But the reason I'm still doing hair is because I got accepted. Because I was in beauty school. I was in beauty school working at the salon and working at Quick's. So I was doing like so many things all at once. And just before I got accepted, I had thought to myself, I was like, tomorrow's the day. I'm going to quit. I'm going to drop out of school. I'm going to find something else. Hair isn't for me. And that's really what I was so down on myself. Like, I can't believe I was so down. Like, after everything. Like, I was so down on myself. Like, I had so much. And then I had so much going for me. And I was, like, still, like, losing my mind. But that was all the stress. That was, all the stress eating me alive.
Right.
Then I'm like, back to the story. I pull up into the Subway. I get an email. Oh, man. The email was awesome. The email, I got accepted. And sweet. I'm sitting in my car. I looked at the email. I got accepted. I threw my phone and I got out of my car and I started running. Like I just started running. Like I didn't know what else to do. Started running. The first person I called was Brandy, which was, so she's my fiance. It's funny now, but, yeah, she's my fiance. She wasn't then.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she was the first person I called and she didn't answer. And I texted her. I was like, I got accepted. She goes, like, congratulations. Like, I knew yeah. you would, like, whatever. And then, so I ended up going to the bar and I just kind of like partied and celebrated. And then I woke up the next morning at like 6 a.m. And I remember this from 6 a.m. to like 2 in the afternoon. I just cried like all day. Like, it was like the work hadn't even been started. Like, I just got into it.
Was it like emotion, like happy emotion, or was it overwhelming?
Overwhelming, happy. And I was like, I was just like pissed off, like almost that I was so down on myself. Like just the idea of like leaving hair was just
like almost quitting right before you had gotten accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like almost quitting. Like, I can't believe like I really was like so set. I was going to quit at the barbershop. I was going to quit at the salon. I was going to drop out of school. Like, who knows? I might've just done construction. I might've just restarted life. I don't know. But then moving forward, I built the collection. And I was like, I'm not going to be more stressed out. I said, I'm not going to be stressed. Then moving forward, I was even more stressed now that like the work actually had started.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then I go out to Utah. I build this collection.
What's a collection?
So the collection is the three photos. Okay. So the three yeah. different models that
for
I did.
For the contest.
The,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, once they're submitted, I'm not going to be stressed out. Like, and I was like, that's cool. I won't be stressed out. Oh man. Once they were submitted, I was 10 times as stressed because like, oh man, I was so stressed out. Cause I was like, now I got to wait to see if I make top five.
Yeah.
Then, so your question was, what did it do for you?
Yeah.
And top five happened. One of my really great friends, hopefully you're watching this. His name is Jax. He was the bartender at Sandbar. And so it's me, Giuseppe, and Sebastian. We're just sitting around my phone watching the YouTube video or the Facebook Live or whatever it was just to see who made top five. So then it's all three of us and Jax is my buddy and he was like, oh, I'm gonna bring you drinks if you win, if you get it. I'll bring the around. And I was like, sweet bro, thanks. And then it finally hit and I was top five. And all three of us just jumped up, started screaming. And Jax goes, what are we drinking? Like, so unfortunately, the two were underage. So I was the only one who had a drink. And he bought me like a mixed drink.
Hey, you
and
don't
it was
have to
awesome.
Lie. They had some, huh? Off the record?
Off the record. But yeah, so then that happened. And within 10 minutes, man, I think I got like, 50 to 100 text messages of just congratulations.
That's
from
so
like
awesome.
All the big, big names.
Like hair product people, all that.
Oh
kind
yeah.
Of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All the hair product people.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Like a crap load of brands. It was crazy.
That's so
and
awesome.
Then,
I like that must've been cool. Cause like, you know, everybody's gone to Haircut before. You go in, you see all these brand names, like what, Johnny B, like the hair product,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And then you have all these companies literally congratulating you. All these products you see in the stores. Dude, congrats. That's freaking awesome.
Oh, it was.
Dude, that must have been a great experience.
It was insane. It was really, really crazy.
Yeah, that makes me curious. So like, obviously you're going through this moment and you're waiting to be for the announcement, whether you're in or you're out, like you still aren't thinking that all these people are watching it. Like, especially if big names,
yeah, you probably had no clue. Facebook
yeah,
Live.
You're
yeah.
just like, you're honed in the moment. You don't know who else is watching. You're probably thinking it's like, who knows if this even gets seen. And then you get all these texts. That's probably a crazy moment
yeah,
for you.
Now that you mention it, like, I think like when you break it down like that, that's the truth, honestly. And that was the, that was like one of the cool, like the coolest moments that I've ever had was like so many, brands were trying to like get me on really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like what an experience.
That's so cool, man.
And then after that, called my mom, called my dad, my sister, my family, and they elated just like really, really awesome. And my dad was like, what's next? And I was like, I don't know. like I had no idea what was next.
Top
so,
five.
Yeah. So then I made top five. And then like a couple months later, Even though I did leave Quicks, I viewed my boss, my previous boss, as like one of my like best friends. He came out to California with me. So Aveda, the company, they put me in like the rooftop, like overlooking the entire city of LA. Like props to Aveda. Thank you. Thank you.
Your suite or something, like a penthouse.
Yeah, for my hotel. And
that's so awesome.
It was the hands down the greatest hotel I've ever stayed in. For one, for two, coolest room, three, like best time ever. Whenever we got to LA, Brandy and I went there prior, like a day or two early, just to have a little vacation. And
right,
that
was fun. Some fun.
Explore. That was so much fun.
I'm sure it was.
Dude, such a blast. And then, like, what was it? It was like an hour or two before Mike and I had planned this. So he gave me a haircut. He texted me because he couldn't get up to the room because he needed the key.
Yeah.
So I went down there.
That's how you know it's a nice hotel. You need a key for the elevator.
No, you needed a key for the top floor.
Oh,
which was never mind. Even okay. cooler. Which was even cooler. So I went down there and Mike brought like a bottle of champagne. He gave me a haircut inside the hotel room. Awesome. I've never experienced that. That was one of the coolest haircutting experiences I've ever had. So he gave me like a haircut. There's like pictures of it on my Instagram. That was the coolest thing. And then he sat right next to me. So moving forward, we had like the red carpet. So I was on the red carpet. Red carpet was awesome. Yeah, that was an experience.
I'm sure it was.
That was an experience. I've like,
was it like you see on like on TV and stuff, like you come out of the car and there's a bunch of paparazzi pictures and stuff type red carpet? Really?
That's it was crazy. So sick.
That's so cool.
It was so cool. That's awesome. It was exactly that. And like that was overwhelming. I decided.
Yeah, it had to have been.
Oh, that was so overwhelming. And then after the red carpet and everything, we go take our seats. They call announced. And this part was super weird where they call your name, but you're in the stands, you're in the stadium
kind of
thing. And you just go through and
just walk all the way up.
It was so weird, man. It was so weird.
Everybody just sitting there waiting for you to finally get up there.
Mm-hmm. Then I ended up. So like we're all sitting there, my mom and dad and everything like that. I remember this. I was so ill. I literally had gone to the bathroom and then I sat down in my seat and I knew my category was coming up and, like I tell Brandy, I was like, I'm so sick. I don't know. Like I'm going to throw up. Like I got to go to the bathroom and
all the anxiousness.
And she was like, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Just sit. Like, and I was like, fine. Like, I was like, I remember that, dude. So embarrassing.
It's like butterflies for a football game.
Yeah.
Type deal.
And then I put my, once I saw my photos up there, I put my head down like, and I closed my eyes and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Then they say Cooper Brooks. And in my head, I was like, holy shit, this is happening. I was like, that was what I said out in my head. And
were they announcing like the winner of the top
five?
Yeah,
the winner. Oh. Yeah, they were announcing the winner and they called my name. And I was like, holy shit, I won. And then I was like, game time. And then I like jumped right into it. And it was just like a boost of dopamine. There's a video of me like Mike had the best thing ever. Cause the only part of the video was like Cooper Brooks. And it was like panned to me and I'm over here screaming my head off. I dap him up as you, the whole YouTube video like shows me tripping over some chairs, which is wildly embarrassing. And then I'm on stage and I'm the only person in all of history to get like kicked off the stage because I kept talking. I didn't know how to stop talking. They started playing the music. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then we had the champagne toast, and that was the night that they made me a global stage artist.
That's so cool.
And then, so I won, I said my speech, they kicked me off stage, and then I go to the champagne toast, and creative director, her name is Heggy Gonzalez, and she says, she was like, you have to be there. There's a champagne toast. You gotta be there. And I was like, oh. And she goes, where are you gonna be? And I was like, the champagne toast. And I was like, so I end up going to the champagne toast. Prior to that, I left my trophy in the bathroom. And I remember that, and I just like ran back. Like, I was just so overwhelmed.
Oh, of course, man.
So we get to the champagne toast, and then they're like, oh, they were like, do you want to be on stage? Like, what's the chances like you'd be on stage at like Beta Congress? And I was like, oh, like in my head, I was like, of course I will. But also in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be assisting the big names, the people who know what they're doing. Cause yeah. I surely don't know what I'm doing. So then like, so I say yes. And 8 months later, we're having all these meetings. And the whole time I'm like, oh, I'm going to be assisting the big names. And then they're like, no, idiot. You're the main stage. And I was like, that's scary. So like a month before I get onto the main stage for the Veda Congress, like I remember waking up just feeling like the same exact way. Like I was about ready to throw up. Like I had anxiety. I was so scared. And then I ended up going out there and just doing my thing. And I loved every second.
What is it then? Like, what's the Veda Congress?
Veda Congress is the largest hair show in the world.
Oh, it's a hair show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In front, like, so like 30,000 attend, 40,000, 45,000 like watch online.
It's like the Super Bowl of hair, bro.
Mm-hmm. And it was so nuts. And, wow, it was cool. It was so cool. And I just went out, like, I remember, like, 10 minutes prior to me being on stage, I told everybody to stop talking to me because I was just, like, I wasn't having any thoughts. I was just like, nope, I got to zone in.
Yeah.
And whenever I was out there on stage, I think we played it off really, really well, but they misplaced our, there was me plus, like, two others on stage, and they misplaced our baskets. Not a basket, like a rolly cart. So they misplaced.
Were you cutting hair on stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was using the razor on stage.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. And I actually was like, I told myself like, if I was shaking on stage, that I wasn't going to use the razor. And I wasn't shaking. So I was like, fuck it. I'm using the razor. But then it's a fashion show.
Yeah.
So I was on stage doing my thing. There's a lot of music and everything like that. And I exited. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say about the rolly carts. They misplaced their rolly cart. Like everybody had them like wrong. So I had to fix it. And I start talking and dude had my microphone like this, like off of my face. And I was like talking and it just, oh my God. Like you couldn't hear a word I said for about, I don't know, 30 seconds. And I think we played that off really, really well. I think it turned out like an amazing show.
Good.
But it was outstanding. And from that point on, something I do remember was like in this whole place, like I just got off stage. I'm walking around where there's after parties and everything like that. And like, man, oh man, I announced my engagement on stage. So everybody knew that I was like
so cool.
Engaged to Brandy. And we're walking around, me and Brandy are holding hands. They're like, oh, great show. You did it awesome. Congrats on the engagement. Like full blown celebrity. It was awesome.
That's so cool.
It was the coolest thing ever. It was awesome. Like, what an awesome time.
Isn't that crazy how, like, literally, like, kind of going back a little bit, like, hey, you're cutting hair, you think you're going to quit. You submit your photos. You're at the bar with some friends, you know, all the hope in the world that out of thousands and thousands of contestants, yourself's going to get picked for top five. You get picked top five. You go crazy with the bros. And next thing you know, you're literally in front of 30,000 people. Like, it's just crazy how quick it actually happens. You know what I mean? Just kind of thinking about it. Well, let me ask you this. Cause I know, I mean, we've had number one, barbers like therapists. I think everybody know that, right? You know, we talk. So, I mean, we've had quite a few conversations and I've heard of some of the struggles and like that moment of just like wanting to quit. Like what was it like when you first started? Like, hey, I want to be a barber. I want to go do hair, right? I want to go do style. Did you think you were going to get to where you ended up?
Yes.
Why?
I had a 5-year plan. I had that was the quickest yes I could possibly tell you. And I had a 5-year plan and I wrote it out and it was a joke. It wasn't a joke. It was me in barber school. I was a bum kid who just wanted to pass and cut hair and work at a shop. That was what I was. So I remember working with one of my friends. His name is Eddie. So love Eddie. Eddie's a great dude.
Eddie.
Hopefully he sees this. But so I called him because at the beauty school, so I went to barber school and then cosmetology school. So right. at the beauty school, they asked us to do a 5-year plan. And I was like, ha ha, I already have one done. Like, that's kind of what I thought. So I looked back at it and I was like, maybe like 2 years into my 5-year plan, which I had to redo it, obviously, but it was wild. According to my 5-year plan, everything was falling into place.
Interesting.
So there was two things.
Was this year one or year two?
I was year two into it.
Okay.
Like I said, graduate barber school, go to cosmetology school, done. The chair that I wanted to use was the exact chair that I had at Quick.
Sweet.
Yeah.
The one in the back. I loved that. We were behind like everybody. Like if for you, just for you guys to know, like you walk in the door, they have like on the side, there's barber chairs. On the other side, there's like barber chairs. And then there's this big wall where like the register is. And then behind it, there's just one chair back there. And I thought it was the sickest thing.
Dude, yeah. One chair with one overhead light just right on you. Yeah. It was so cool.
It was like private. It was like a private haircut.
Yeah. You know, right
there. It was pretty cool.
And then, So I was in my, like in my year two. So down to the chair. Then I said that I wanted, so there was two differences. One difference was I said that I wanted to use Suavecito. I ended up using Johnny B, and I ended up working for Johnny B, which was crazy. Then I said that I wanted to be a platform artist. So a platform artist is like a local Arizona kind of vibe. Like I ended up being a global artist. Like I shot that shit out of the water.
So obviously global meaning world, entire world.
Yeah. And a platform artist, you're doing like work teaching on stage in front of like 50 to 250 people, which is like a big deal. Like, don't get me wrong. If you do that, you're an awesome person. You know what you're doing. Like, that's great. But I did it on a global stage.
Yes.
So I blew that shit right out of the water.
Yep.
Then I said I wanted to have a shop by year 5, and I did it in year 4.
So are you still on your 5-year plan right now? Is this year 4 right now?
This is the end. This is the end. Yeah, this was my 5-year plan is over.
That's crazy.
And I told myself that I wanted to have a shop before I was 25, but that didn't actually work out because I turned 25 and then I got a shop. But that, like, it is what it is. I mean, who cares? I still got one. Like,
no, dude,
like,
it's crazy. The story, the ride, this is literally awesome. And I think the biggest thing, I mean, so like, hey, yes, because you had a 5-year plan, but what people don't understand, like, I feel like a lot of people have plans like, oh, I'm going to, you know, here's my plan. This is what I'm going to do. But a lot of times it falls through the cracks and never gets executed because people aren't consistent with it. Right. So like, what are some key points during that 5-year plan where you can recall yourself just literally like, man, this sucks, but I'm going to keep pushing through.
I think fear is powerful.
It is.
You know, and I think the fear of failure like drove me so far. And I think that's like crappy to say because I think I should have a larger drive than just fear. And fear of failing out, like you go to school. Fear of failing business. You work twice as hard. You learn, you know, like fear. Like there's uncontrollable fear, and then there's fear. And like that, like little bit of fear, I think if you can train yourself to teach yourself that fear does not exist, and all it is like ambition. If you can change that fear mindset into ambition, you're going to get a lot further. And that's kind of why I think, to answer your question, that's.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, well, one, yes, I am on the same page. Fear is extremely powerful. I mean, literally people kill over fear. People create great things and accomplish amazing things due to fear. But it's very interesting because I feel like a lot of times when you're creating something great or you're on a path to success, a lot of people let the fear kind of destroy them. You know what I mean? So you were just like kind of touching base on it, like being able to actually control that. And like, how did you control, like, cause you had the fear, like before you even got on stage, like, you know, how were you able to control that fear throughout this entire ride? Did you have any techniques? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, there's a lot of breathing techniques that I like to do, especially whenever I get like super duper overwhelmed, and I like give myself 5 seconds, like 5 seconds to flip out. Just like if you just let it go. Just let it go. Just 5 seconds and then do it. 5 seconds, do it. You got 5 seconds to freak out. You got 5 minutes. You got like the rule of five. Like, so you got 5 seconds to freak out. You got 5 minutes to figure it out. Just take five and then you're going to do it. There's no negotiation. You are going to do it. If you just, there's, at the end of the day, there's no negotiation. If you say you're going to be there. If you say that you're going to do it, do it.
Right.
If you say, okay, listen, it'll get done. Just trust that it'll get done.
Yeah.
And you can't like have a negotiation with yourself. That's stupid. That's the worst.
Well, you're allowing the voice to talk. You're giving the voice room to talk. Right?
Like, so this is a poor statement for you and I, because we're business owners. But for like an employee, if you're like, why does an employee, whenever the boss says, take out the trash, you take out the trash. The boss says, go for a coffee run. You're going to go for the coffee run. But if you say, I'm going to wake up, go to the gym. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to go to breakfast with my boys. Like, I'm going to do anything in the morning. And you're like, nah, not going to do it. Why are you negotiating with the only person that matters?
Yeah.
You are literally the only thing in the world that matters. Everything else is bullshit. You are the only thing that matters. That's it. Stop negotiating with yourself. And people like to negotiate with themselves. People like to have like this ideology that they're not thinking. They're not thinking. Nobody wants to think anymore. Everybody wants to get told what to do. No, use your head. Like that's something that really like makes me super mad, is how people don't think anymore. Stop asking questions and figure it out.
Well, dude, first of all, literally a gold nugget right there. So I'm part of a coaching program, and on Monday they're talking about basically how to handle like stress and high stress environments and stuff, and like what people do to get there. And they asked me like, hey, RJ, what do you do? I said, well, first I give myself a second to realize, holy crap, this sucks. Like if something bad happens, I take it in. This sucks. It's freaking terrible. But I give myself a little bit of time, and then it's done. It's over. Now it comes figuring out and finding the solution. And so many people get caught on that first step. They get, you know, we talk about that victim mentality, that mindset kind of the world has adopted over time. Like, oh, poor me. And they stay in that poor me category. Like, oh man, my life sucks. Why did this happen? And then they get stuck there and nothing ever happens. Mm-hmm. But if you can control it, if you can be like, hey, this sucks. Wow. Cry, do whatever you got to do. And then be like, okay, good. Now let's get it figured out. Let's get it done. And then you progress. Like nothing can hold you back. Literally.
Yeah. This is like a known statement. I didn't make this up. But one of my favorite quotes is, was it a bad 5 minutes? Or I'm sorry. Was it a bad day? Or was it a bad 5 minutes that you milked the entire day? And that's my favorite thing. Because, sometimes, and I do it. I milk it. Like, sometimes. I mean, yeah, that's, we all do. We all do.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, like, you and I could have an argument, like, me and Brandy could have an argument, but like it's settled. But why am I thinking about it all day? We don't need to be thinking about it all day. That's if we just stay in that loop of just being like helpless loop, just to tap into what you just said, pretty much just the helpless loop, the victim mindset, like you will never get anywhere.
Yeah.
If you're so focused on the negative, you can't move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I was telling someone on my team today, like, hey, you have a million things to stress about. Like there's so much going on. I'm stressed about X through or A through Z. It's like, okay, well, what do you need to stress about now? He's like, well, what do you mean I got to stress about all of it? I'm like, well, give me an example. Oh, well, I have this coming up in 2 weeks and I'm really worried about it. Okay. Well, why are you stressing about that now? Can you do anything about it now? No. You have to wait for that person to get here before you get stressed about it? Yeah. Okay, well then just put that energy towards the stuff you can handle now, that you can figure out now, and wait for that part. And instead, when you take it all in, you crumble. You crumble. Everybody's the same. We have thresholds, right? And if you can't prioritize that stress, which sounds crazy everybody talks about prioritizing priorities and people in life, but nobody talks about prioritizing stress. You have to be able to know what to deal with in a moment and what not to deal with in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what can wait and what can't wait. You know what I mean? So no, that's a great point. That's phenomenal. Dude, your journey, number one. So like, I knew about like all the, like your award and your title, all that kind of stuff. Never really asked you about that story because I think when I was, as we were going through the months, well, one, we saw each other like once a month because I would get a haircut. Sometimes it'd be like 6 weeks, to be honest. But every time I met you, you'd have something new to tell me. I didn't realize that all that was happening as you were like cutting my hair over that year. Like literally, like when you're like, I didn't know you engaged to, or you asked Brandon to marry you on stage?
No. I announced it on stage.
Oh, you announced it. Okay.
So it's actually really funny. So there's actually a backstory to that too. So I called Heggy and I said, what are the chances I could propose to Brandy on stage? And it's so funny. She was like, let me call Kyle. Let me see what I can do. She was like, I love the idea. We'll help you. And I was like, great. I got, I don't know. I was, everything happened for the better because I ended up proposing that night. And then Heggy called me the next day and was like, Kyle's in. We're doing it.
And I was You're like, impatient.
And I was like, but like once I was on stage, like I was like, there's a zero. So I proposed. And what guys don't talk about ever is how hard it is to propose.
Oh,
because I was like, like we all do this. Like we all do it. It's so like in your head, you're like, you're about to propose. You're like, I got this. You're like, I got this. And then it's just like the hardest thing in the world.
Oh my gosh, bro.
And then I was like, there's not, I'm so happy that I ended up not doing it on stage because that would have been ridiculous. That would have been hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks so easy when you see people do it on TV. I remember my proposal. I took my wife to a lantern show. I thought it would be really cool and like had it planned. I was literally pumped up, super excited. And then when she was staring at the lanterns and I got down on one knee and I'm like, anxiety attack. I stand up. I did that like 4 times. I would get on my knees, stand up. And the whole time she didn't turn around once. She's staring at the lanterns. And then finally on the last time I was about to get up again, literally, but she turned around so I couldn't. And I was like, hey, you're just like, it was, dude, it is terrifying.
You're giving me 100%
true. Like it is one. Yeah. It's Kyle. It's terrifying.
Oh yeah. Wait till you take it. Wait till you take the leap, man. It's hard, man.
That's crazy.
It's so funny. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about how genuinely hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
Because you're just thinking about it. You're super excited. And then that happens. And what I have happened.
Well, the other thing is like, I'm definitely someone that's very like methodical. I want it to be so special. And so I put a lot of planning in.
Romantic.
Yeah. And I'm not looking forward to the stressful anxiety part at all.
But compare that to like everything else, right? Like everything that's amazing, great, everything that you want in life. It's hard. Like it's hard to get. Like, and it may seem easy, but the ride is never what it seems to be. It's never like proposing. Seems so easy on TV and stuff. You actually get there, it's literally the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like it's scary. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I feel, and I don't mean to talk so much on this because like we're interviewing you, but like so many things are coming to mind. Like I feel like so many people, they don't talk about the journey, like the emotions that we deal with on the road to success. Everybody sees where you started probably and where you ended up, but nobody sees that, like, dude, the anxiety, the fear, the stress, the, you know, all these negative emotions that we deal with, not just on the ride, but like now that you own your shop, you're dealing with those same emotions again. Am I going to be able to build this? Am I going to have, how do I get more clients? How do I do, you know what I mean? Like it never stops. And even when you are making filthy money, if you're on a road of progress, you consistently have those negative emotions. And we need to understand that, learn that they come with the territory and embrace them and learn how to manage them rather than trying to avoid them. You know what I mean? So I'm sure you dealt, like literally, I think you named every single emotion on that roller coaster of just getting to where you ended up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, all right, fast forward. You have your shop now. How is that going? You got your own, like, end of your 5-year plan. You accomplished everything you set out to accomplish. Now you're probably going to, you probably have other stuff you're trying to accomplish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at currently?
Truly, this is something I think about all the time, actually. What I love about you is you've been a mentor to me, whether you think so or not. But like, you really have. And you asked me that. It was like, I think it was like the first or second time I came and cut everybody up. Mm-hmm. And you
hair guys, not
yeah, hair. Clarify. So, you asked me. You were like, "What are your goals?" And I had no clue. Not a clue, not a single one. And it like, what are your goals? You asked me, you just asked me like three or four like extremely hard questions. I think now if you asked me those same questions, I would have answers spot like on. That.
That's awesome, man.
And like, and what it made me realize is I was like, dang, like I've gone this far and I was like a little bit lost. Because everybody who starts a business, it's Instagram is liars full of lies. Like that's like, yes, you know, I just made $50,000 in 4 hours by my program. I hate you guys. Literally hate you guys.
It's all a bunch of crap. That's why.
Yeah. It's all a bunch of crap. And entrepreneurship is not, it's not glamorous. It's hard. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole life.
Agreed.
So the first 3 months were so beyond stressful and difficult that I just like, is the thing that I cherish is I didn't explode. The thing that I know that sounds nuts, but like, I'm sure you felt the same way. But my first 2 weeks were pretty, the first week was awesome. Like my first week was the coolest week of my life. And then because I made like so much money, all of my new clients, like, or not new clients, all my clients that followed, like came in my first week, all my people that were really like, cherishing me and what I do for a living and how I service them. So everybody that came was really happy. It went well. Week two went well. Week three, it was like the end of week two, and it was Wednesday. And I remember this. I went to the golf course. Well, I was actually super duper slow. I'm just sitting there. I had like one appointment, and then I had one appointment. I had one a 9 a.m. appointment and one 5 o'clock appointment, and I was just sitting there the rest of the day, and it sucked. Brandy was like, "Why don't you just go golf?" So I went golfing, and I'm looking around, and that was what I needed. I know it sounds crazy, but I needed to look around at the golf course. And I remember being on the fifth hole, and I looked and I was like, "Damn, I'm a business owner. I can't be doing this." It's like, if I continue to do this, like, I'm going to fail. And it was just like, I knew that was the wrong move. And I made so many wrong moves in my first month. And like, looking back now, like, man, I made, who cares about that first month? Like, the first month was a trial period.
Yeah.
Because I made a lot of wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, the fear of just like, I mean, the rent was paid, the lights were on, everything was cool, but I just wasn't like, I mean, I was making a little bit of money, but you know how it is. You have to buy all the stuff in it, and your profit and loss sheet, you may make $10,000 of profit, but your loss was 11, and you made no money. But it's that first month was painful.
Bro, what a great realization.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a hard time saying that word, but anyways, like it. But that's so true. Like, if you would have kept doing that, like, okay, hey, you know, 2 days a week, you have those days where it's just like, hey, you have one or two people, and you just go golf. You wouldn't be where you are right now. How many clients do you currently have?
Yeah, a lot.
Hundreds, right?
Yeah. So, I would say close to 300.
Yeah,
I would say like very, very close to 300. I haven't checked in a while, to be perfectly honest.
Which is phenomenal. And it's like, if you spend that, like, people, I hate seeing this online. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but it's like the, oh, here's how, I talked about last podcast, here's how you maximize your off days, like, you know, like work days, right? Like, if there's some more, and like, everybody's going through and they're like, oh yeah, I want to maximize all my work, you know, off time as possible. And it's like, that's why people don't succeed. That's why it's like, the road to success, it needs to be so consistent, so it's so nonstop, and people really don't realize that. Like, new entrepreneurs, they don't realize that it is a 24/7 grind and not a 9-to-5 grind, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm sure that you're realizing that was absolutely game changing for your business.
Yeah. And it really, really was. And it wasn't even my off day. I just left in the middle of the day and blocked it out and went golfing. And I was like, what are you doing? Like that was like the turning point. I needed that realization. I needed that so badly. Thank God it happened so early. And that was just stupid. And then like, so month one, made so many mistakes. And I think you were there. You were there. So you were there.
Oh, when
the
I came and
space.
Got my haircut.
Yeah, you were in the first space. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, we had like one initial space and we upgraded to an even larger and far better space. So that being said, RJ was there like on her first space.
That's when I asked him to come cut hair for the company.
Yeah, that was like the first and last time. But that was during that moment where I just thank God we had like we had enough profit to expand. So it was good. We were able to expand very, very quickly. And then now we have a very, very large space. Me and my fiance just cut hair side by side. Business is going well. The first 3 months, we're learning. Because we were only in that first space for like a month. And thank God, because it sucked. But then I took that as a learning period. You have no idea. So my biggest mistake was having like knickknacks and BS and just like having like a luxury feel to it. But the knickknacks don't matter. You know what matters? My tools, my chair. That's it. And a cape. That's all I need, period. That's all you need. And some hair product. That's it. And my biggest problem was, oh, we need this bullshit, this, that, this. Tell me what was in it in the first place.
You had a couple of pictures and some chairs. I think you had a TV. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think you remember. You got the gist, but there was like the back.
We had shelves and stuff.
So we had like so many extra shelves for just knickknacks and BS. Yep. That was not okay. I mean, sure, it was. It looked kind of cool, but it took up so much space for no reason at all. So, like, nope, that was biggest mistake one, was do essentials and then knickknacks. But only have, like, one or two. You don't need to have, like, oh, my gosh. Your junk wall in your closet where you keep all your BS knickknacks that you have?
Yep.
Yeah, that your wife doesn't let you put out? Because I feel that.
Yeah, like my Yoda and Star Wars stuff.
Dude, right? Okay, so like imagine that BS wall was at my shop. Like that's not worth it. Yeah. That's not worth it. Like no way. So that was a beautiful learning lesson. So I had a lot of really good learning lessons.
Bro, what's exciting is like putting it in perspective, okay? 5-year plan, you had a 5-year plan to basically, or I guess 4-year plan technically, to become a global artist. Blow everything out of the water, become literally one of the best in the world, right? You did it. Now you're on phase 2, business owner. Now you want to grow that, be the best there. So like you are just doing what you already did once all over again in a different region or a different part, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what entrepreneurship's all about.
Wait, I got a funny thing to say. Tell me you play Call of Duty.
Of course,
bro. Okay. Call of Duty.
Yeah, of course, man.
You know how you prestige?
Yes.
So I told Giuseppe. I said I was like, dude, it feels like I just prestige. Like I have all the knowledge. I have everything.
That's an awesome way to put it. I'm gonna use that.
Being an entrepreneur is prestiging, and you know what he says? He goes, okay. He was like, whatever the hell that means. And I was like, you don't play Call of Duty. It broke my heart, bro.
Bro,
it
prestige. You're a prestige one now. That's freaking awesome. First prestige, dude. That's a game changer. I just felt like a competitive, like a rise in my soul right now.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, like putting it in perspective that way. Shoot.
Because you were on top, but now you're on the bottom, but with all the knowledge. you're at the bottom with all the last bit of knowledge you need. But now second prestige is growth.
Yeah.
And third and fourth and fifth is all growth. And I sound like such a nerd. And I love how we're having this nerd out. But like, swear, dude, it's that's cool, the man. Truth, you know, prestiging in life. You know, one step.
Well, here's the deal, man. Your business is going to be very successful. It's already succeeding. How long have you had this? What is it, like 8 months?
What's today's date?
Today is July 10th.
Yeah, 11th. 11th.
11th. Oh, tomorrow literally makes 9 months.
9 months? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. So, like, first year of business, and we all know there's so many different lessons. I mean, being a business owner is so different than, you know, cutting hair. Like, it's just a whole different set of skills to run a company. And you realize a bunch of that in the first month. you know what I mean? Like,
that month was a punch in the face. Yeah,
but those are the good months. So that's when you look back. Like, if I were to look back at my first month right now, I wouldn't be able to stop laughing. So I'm not even going to think about it.
Dude,
I was an absolute turd. I was a fool. Thought I was the coolest person. Oh, I'm going to go freaking build a shower, bro. I'm surprised I haven't hurt people on accident, like with some of the stuff I actually built, because
you were a noob.
I was a noob. Dude, these gamer slang, I love this. I was a noob, and now I'm prestige, baby. Let's go. Let's go. But that's, I'm a little envious of you right now. You get to just, like, you did it. Now you get to do it again, and that's fun. I've been waiting to be able to, like, get this thing to be my company, be, like, just so well-oiled to where I can step aside and be like, all right, now I'm going to duplicate and just get it, do it all over again, because the adrenaline, the rush, the ecstasy of just doing something great and building something is the best. It's the best.
Like, I love that you said building it, because building it from the ground up was, like, such an interesting, we had put everything in the space, in the first space, and we were tripping because we were like, oh my God, it's all not going to fit. We made it fit. It was beautiful. Like, whenever you just see all of your stuff in one area and you're like, oh my goodness, how do I do this? Then you do it. It's like a win.
Yeah.
It's just taking a win. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, I think about, like, I used to have a mindset, like, I used to watch friends that, you know, growing up, let's put it in perspective, like, when I got back from my mission, so 4 years ago, I got back from South America, and I had missionary companions that came from very wealthy families, and so when they came home, all I saw on Instagram were, like, their brand new F-350 that dad bought them and this and stuff. And, like, hey, he had a scholarship for rugby, for example. And so, like, they were doing stuff, but, like, I saw this, I'm like, dude, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Now, I don't wish I ever had anything like that. And I had great stuff growing up too, more than some of my friends did. Like, but what I've learned, the amount of growth and lessons I've had from literally starting something from absolutely nothing is irreplaceable. You just can't get anywhere. Like, I feel like if I were to go up against someone twice as big as me, but they had a huge cushion of a head start, funding, friends, family that helped them, and they built in, they, you know, they're still successful because of them, but I guarantee that the things that I know and I learned go even further beyond them, because to not have anything and to have nothing to lose changes people when you actually do stuff, in my opinion. You know?
Yeah. Money's not, here's the fine line, because money's not always the answer.
Yeah.
Because if you shower your kids and they never know how to work, they will.
They're screwed.
I've just seen, like, a lot of people, really, 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 really successful men and women have kids, give them everything, and those kids end up in jail. Those kids end up just not feeling fulfilled. And it's not even the parents' fault. It's not the kids' fault. It's just, like, life. You can't just, if I gave you the whole world and you had nothing to work for, like, what are you going to do? Like, working is kind of, like, fulfilling.
Yeah.
Working is really fulfilling. I can tell you, I've made a lot of money. And I've made, like, a little bit of money. But there's the feeling of fulfillment is just priceless. You know? Because my favorite days, even like whenever I was at Quicks, are the days that I have really amazing conversation. It's not even about the money. I don't give a shit about the money. The money will come. But those days I didn't make the most, but I was like excited to have like 10 extra minutes. Like with RJ. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was like excited to have like 10 extra minutes so we can like really, really just get down with it. You know, have fun. Like who cares? Like life shouldn't be so difficult. It's more, in my opinion, like success is solely based off of just like enjoyment. Why are you doing it? To be a billionaire? Wish you the best of luck. You know?
Well, you know, there's there's different forms of compensation, and everybody, when they hear compensation, they think green money, you know, something you can spend, right? But compensation comes in so many different forms. Like for me, like something I base, like, yeah, sure, $300 in my hand is great. That's, you know, that's rewarding. But a week at, you know, Newport with my daughters on the beach, watching them run around and have the absolute best time of their lives, that is so much more rewarding than getting $6,000 in my hand. You know, like I would, you know what I mean? Like I, what was it last year? I went to Disneyland, and Disneyland's great. I love Disneyland, and went there, and we were there 2 full days, and we did some other stuff on the side. But out of that entire trip, out of everything we did, every ride I went on, the most memorable part that I remember and I'll never forget is the first 10 seconds my daughters walked in and their jaws just dropped because it was the most magical thing they've ever seen. And I'll never forget that. It's like there's so many fruits and rewards and everything. And if you focus on the money, money's great. And that's a drive. And like, hey, I would love to be a billionaire and I'm going to strive to make as much money as humanly possible. But those are so awesome, those rewards along the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
so
just great. Like the little things.
The little things.
Yeah. And in like something I seriously value is driving with the windows down.
Yes.
Either like first thing in the morning whenever the sun's not even up. No. even when the sun's not up. Like when the sun's not up, like that's my favorite thing. Blasting music, and that's how I wake up. Or like at night whenever I'm driving home and it's dark out and it's windows down.
Those are my favorite times. Yeah.
And like, that's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Just the little things, like not even like work related, just like those are the most fulfilling moments. And having like those moments, the little things that actually drive you to be successful. People don't even talk about what you need. What do you need? I need that 15 minutes. Every morning with my windows down, music blasting, maybe not during this heat, but like I need that. That's how I get fired up. Like, see, like, so we will talk more about it, but I got some crazy good news. We'll talk more about it after this podcast, but crazy, 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 amazing news. And I'm super happy for my
friends. Are you having a kid?
Oh. No. I'm saying, no.
I'm like, yeah.
I'm super happy. For
I can't take another one of those, honestly. It's in the water at this point.
Like, I'm like super duper happy for my friends. That's like a fulfilling thing for me. You know, like just like an amazing, I love to see my friends win. I love to see you win. I love coming here. Like, I feel like every time awesome. I come in here, I feel like I'm winning because there's not many who get my opportunity.
Yeah.
Very true. You know, like I've never heard of anybody doing what I'm doing right now. For those of you that don't know, I come to RJ's shop and give everybody haircuts once a month or so. Mm-hmm. Coolest thing.
This is freaking awesome for us.
Never experienced something like that. And he was so kind to get me a barber chair and it was awesome. So I have a little barber chair. There's a table over there. There's a refrigerator. There's everything I need, truly. And that's an excellent opportunity.
I feel like I'm Rick Ross when he comes over, you know? Just like, yeah, my barber's coming over. He's coming to me.
Like, it's so sick.
But it is. And he don't even smile like that, because when I told everybody in the conference room that we were doing this, everybody was like, yeah, dude, that's awesome. That's sick.
You have to thank your brother for that, because he kind of...
Yeah, he really hounded me. Yeah, my brother really wanted it, yeah.
So, and then I also just... I like it because I get to DJ.
Yeah,
I
got some music going on.
Like, talk about like an experience. Like, yeah. I just, you know, I think this is cooler than the time that I cut hair and like next to a Ferrari. Like, I think thanks, this is man. Cooler than that moment, you
that's
know? A, like,
that's flattering. Thank you. You know, it, just a minute ago, you reminded me of a movie. I can't remember what it's called, but this movie is about a photographer. Or it's the main character is about his life or whatever, but there's a character in this movie who's a like a photographer who captures photos of like just he's a professional photographer. He captures the most beautiful photos of different animals and stuff, and there was this one animal he had been hunting, like some type of snow lion or cat or something, I can't remember, but anyways, and so this guy, they ended up finding this photographer for some other reason that doesn't relate. And this photographer's on a mountain. He's like, hey, shh, look over there. I've been hunting this for years. It's like the one picture he's wanted his entire life. And he's like, oh, yeah. And so he has a camera up. He's looking. And, you know, Spence is there. We're waiting for him to take a picture. And then he just puts the camera down. And then the cat walks away. And the guy goes, why didn't you snap that picture? You've been literally hunting this for years. It's like your life goal to get this picture. He goes, because if I took the picture, I wouldn't have really enjoyed the moment of actually being here. And that stuck with me hardcore, like going back to like the beautiful things, the little things in life. Sometimes like if, you know, when you're stressed out and you have a million things going on and or you're hitting goals and you're not feeling satisfied because you're still not where you want to be, even though you're making a little bit of progress, to be able to step back and just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the moment. That's what keeps us sane, I think. That's what really keeps us sane from crumbling from the freaking stress of just having a hustle 24/7, you know?
So I this happens to me a lot, and I want to know if it happens to you. But sometimes I'll get so stressed out, like just overwhelmed, literally on the verge of a panic attack. And I'll quite literally just break out in laughter. Like, it's not me. It's not, it's just like an involuntary action where I'm just like, I start laughing and it actually calms me down.
That's awesome.
Where I'm like, damn, this freaking sucks. And I just start like hysterically laughing, like literally 5 seconds.
It makes it easier to take.
And then you're just like, damn, all right.
I think we've all done that.
I was like, this is what I got to do. So like, I got to do X, Y, and Z. Like, this is just what it is. You know what I mean?
I think I do that when I get bad news. Like, hey man, we accidentally burnt this client's house down.
Oh, oh man, that sucks. Like, what?
We've never had any fires at clients' houses, nothing like that. But like literally,
hey,
I think
hey,
I
boss, could... that house is.
Hey boss, we just lost $1 million. Oh shoot. It does take the edge off, I'm not gonna lie. For me, I have moments where I'll just like break down and cry, and then like after I cry, I feel so good. Like, I had someone in here just before you came in, he was talking to me. He's like, he's so stressed, and I've been kind of coaching him on how to scale his business, and he's like, yesterday dude, I cried for like 30 minutes in my car just because I'm just, there's so much going on. I'm so stressed. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I'm like, how do you feel? He's like, I feel great. I was like, yes, you do. He said, you got to have those moments, whether it's laugh, like something, just a coping mechanism almost. You know what I mean? Like, it's a necessity. It's a necessity.
Yeah. And I, it's so funny to hear like you say that, like you cried because I felt so much better. Like, so every time I cry, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Even whenever I was telling you about whenever I wanted to quit like barbering. And I like broke down for like hours. Like, it just wouldn't stop. Like, I felt like heavenly, like almost, you know, you feel it's just such
it's a release.
Pure,
it's a release.
Release.
Yeah. You get a release of stress. It's like working out. It feels good.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Love it. Love it.
Dude. Awesome. Coop. This was a great podcast. Love this episode.
This was a fun one.
I really enjoyed you being here. Guys, we are going to have his links to his social media and stuff down below. Click it. Check it out. If you're a local AZ, are you taking on new clients?
Yeah.
He's taking on new clients, okay? He's out in Chandler, Arizona, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same place that you went to, like, yeah. 10 minutes away.
So, like, Gilbert on the 202.
Yeah.
Around there. Yeah. So, if not, you can come stop by my office, check our office out, and get a haircut on Tuesday because you're going to be here Tuesday. Actually, they probably won't even hear this on Tuesday, will they?
Don't need people coming to the office. No. I'm chilling.
Just kidding. So, But then also check out our links, follow our company, check out what we're doing and what's going on. We really appreciate you guys following us. Remember to drop questions down in the comments for our Q&As. So if you guys have anything you're going through, whether it's in your marriage, your family, your business, this podcast is literally for all of us to really share all the differences and the things that we do to, you know, find solutions, get through life and really just share everything. So we appreciate you guys joining and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Dude, that was so much fun.